Talking on this Monday morning with Oklahoma 3rd District Congressman Frank Lucas. Congressman, even as we speak, movement right now at USDA to try to find $1.5 billion for an ag disaster assistance plan. It's being promoted by Senator Blanche Lincoln of Arkansas, the chair lady of the Senate Agriculture Committee. She hadn't been able to advance it legislatively, so now she's gotten a promise from the White House that they'll do it administratively. What are your thoughts about the idea of doing it this way, which hasn't been really tried before at this level?
Well, first of all, I think we have to look at what the White House, and in particular Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel, are trying to do. My good friend and colleague, the chairman of the Senate Ag Committee in Arkansas, seems to be in a very difficult political position this fall, and the White House really wants to help her. And by shifting administratively, that means trying to move money internally around between accounts. They want to spend $1.5 billion on ag disaster. Some groups have projected a little over $200 million of that would go to Arkansas. Potentially a good chunk of it would come to Oklahoma, but they're trying to do it administratively. The chairman of the House Ag Committee, Colin Peterson, says basically in public that it just can't be done. The ranking member of the Ag Committee in the United States Senate, Saxby Chambliss, has lots of questions. I personally have not figured out exactly how they propose to do this, but when you've got Rahm Emanuel pushing and the White House wanting something, I guess they can help one of their friends if they want to bad enough.
Congressman, are there unintended consequences for USDA?
Well, I think USDA, if you would have a private conversation with the senior leadership in D.C., is scrambling to figure out how to legally do what the White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel is telling them to do. I know there have been funds transferred from this Section 32 account at different times in the last 20 years, but never to this magnitude, never quite in this fashion. We'll see if the White House or if the Department of Agriculture in D.C. can do what the White House wants them to do. But this is, at this point, an administrative decision, something that they have to do internally if they want to help Senator Lincoln politically. It's not a legislative issue.
The estimates that have been put together by the Environmental Working Group show maybe $106 million coming to Oklahoma producers. Your thoughts about this? Is this a mixed blessing or what?
Well, let's just say that $100 million coming to the state of Oklahoma to take care of issues that have piled up weather and climate-wise, you can't argue with the point that it would make have a positive impact on Oklahoma. But when you start rearranging by administrative edict how monies are handled at USDA, not doing it through congressional action, not doing it through the regular appropriation process, but when the White House Chief of Staff decides to help somebody politically, that potentially sets a pretty frightening precedent. Now, we benefit this time, but what if next time we're on the bottom of the pile, not the top? That does worry me.
Congressman, Senator Lincoln, Senator Chambliss also offering a measure this last week just before they went home regarding counteracting a EPA move to basically require pesticide permits on any spraying activity close to the waters of the U.S. What's your thoughts there?
I think they're on the right track. For most of the history of the country, the federal government's jurisdiction over all issues affecting water stopped at the end of, quote, navigable waters. That is, the rivers, the streams that you could float a steamboat up, basically, were under federal jurisdiction. There's a move underway by Henry Waxman in the United States House, and I think many in the administration, to expand federal control all the way to your doorstep, all the way to your barn door. That would be very bad for production agriculture. We have, in such as state of Oklahoma, we've got a very good regime where we regulate it through the State Department of Environmental Quality, through the Water Resources Board, through those kind of entities. We should stay with this system that we have now. And Saxby and Blanche are attempting to reinforce the present system.
Is this a token this late in the session, or does it have a shot at all?
I would say that it is a shot across the bow. But remember, we are operating in a situation where we'll be in session for a day to this week at most. Then we'll come back in September, the middle of September, for a regular session. I would anticipate 2 weeks at most, primarily to spend appropriation dollars, fund the federal government for the next year, at least temporarily or permanent, partially, fully in the other areas. But don't be surprised if 10 days after the election, the Speaker and the Majority Leader of the Senate don't bring us back for a lame duck session. There may be a month or two where a number of these kind of issues could potentially be addressed in November, December. I just as soon not have a lame duck, because by its definition, that means the members of Congress making the decisions, many of whom, since it comes after Election Day, but before the new Congress takes office, many of the members making the decisions will have been defeated or retired by the voters, and it's not a good thing when your elected officials never have to be held accountable again, and that could be 100 members of the House in a lame duck session this time.
Tell us about this vote that Ms. Pelosi has called you back for tomorrow.
Basically, the Speaker is attempting to pump $26 billion into state and local government. The stimulus packages that they passed earlier, now that the money's been spent, are winding out. The Speaker's attempting to direct this money primarily towards things like teacher salaries, those kind of things, which are customarily, I might add for the record, the responsibility of state and local government. On the surface, many people will say, well, let the federal government write the hot check, the IOU, add on more national debt to keep these important local areas of state and county government, and local government, I should say, in place. But remember, when you start to take federal money, then sooner or later you get total federal control. And I think it's a little bit frightening that that the federal government is being asked to make decisions that in many instances the rest of the political spectrum doesn't want to have to make, and doing it by writing a hot check.
One last question regarding stimulus, Congressman. There's some speculation at the Obama administration, the Democratic leadership might be plotting some sort of a last-minute stimulus set of packages or package that would perhaps help them come the November elections. Is that possible?
The Speaker still has a 39-seat majority. Harry Reid, Speaker Pelosi, Harry Reid still has a 9-seat majority in the United States Senate. As we've seen in the case with the White House trying to redirect $1.5 billion to help Senator Lincoln in her tough reelection campaign in Arkansas, this bunch has the numbers and they have the political willpower to preserve themselves. Do not be surprised by anything that they would do to protect themselves right now, because with the unemployment rate at 9.5%, with the national economy still stalled out, having increased the national debt by $3 trillion in basically 2 years, do not be surprised at what they would attempt to do to save their own political posteriors.
Oklahoma 3rd District Congressman Frank Lucas visiting with us via cell phone as he gets ready to go through a series of town hall meetings today before heading back to Washington, D.C. tomorrow for that vote called by Speaker Nancy Pelosi. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.